This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Cincinnati has a long and storied history of producing successful Olympic athletes, from William DeHart Hubbard, who won a gold medal in the long jump during the 1924 Paris Olympics, to swimmer Carson Foster, who's bringing home a silver and a bronze medal from this year's games. So what does it take to become a member of Team USA? Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about that and the lifelong impact of their Olympic team experiences are 2008 Olympic gold medalist in the U.S. women's 4x400 meters relay, Mary Weinberg. Thanks so much for being here, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
And member of the 1980 women's national volleyball team that qualified for the Olympic Games, Sharon Furlong. Welcome, Sharon. It's great to have you here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Let's start by talking about just what it takes to train for the Olympics. I know you both spent years training. Mary, what went into that?
Ooh, where shall I begin? So for me, I originally started training for the Olympics in 2003, moving into 2004. And of course, the Olympics happen every 4 years. I did not make that first team and had to come back after devastation, realizing that not only did it take hard work, it took a lot of sacrificing, long hours of training, days when I didn't want to train, but I knew that I had to in order to be the very best. So I'm going to say it was drooling, it was hard, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but at the end, it was all worth it.
What about you, Sharon? I know you ended up dropping out of college to train, right? Talk to us about that.
There was a tryout in Pasadena, Texas, so I dropped out my junior year at UC. And with the support of my parents, thank goodness. And then from 1976 to 1978, we trained in Pasadena, Texas, in all the wonderful humidity. And then the Olympic Training Center opened in Colorado Springs. So we didn't have to work. We didn't have to go to school, you know, classes and pinch pennies. So we could live at the training center and train full time. And then it got pretty serious, 6 to 8 hours a day, 6 days a week.
For years. I mean, literally for years.
Yes.
Talk about the mental preparation. I mean, there's the physical part and then there's the mental part. Mary, what goes into the mental piece of this?
Yeah, you know, if I could just go back, there's so many things that I probably would have done differently. But I think for me, I was already, you know, super organized, very disciplined. And I knew that I wanted to train. And knowing that I wanted to train, I set up a plan. I sat down with my coach. We came up with a plan and we said, this is how we're going to execute it. Now, as we, you know, got into these really, really hard workouts, I'm thinking on the days that I didn't want to be there, there's something in my, you know, mind telling me, oh, you can take the day off. You can go and enjoy and hang out with your friends. You can go eat lots of ice cream. And I had to really say, you know what, I want to do this, I have to do this, and I had to make sure that my mental was in check. And I thought that with the help of my coach, with the help of my husband, and having that great inner circle, those were the individuals that kept me grounded. And I knew that if I had any issues, I could definitely talk with them. And for me, the mental part really wasn't what helped me back. And I had a really, really strong hold on that. I had to learn that part, though, for me.
Yeah. What about you, Sharon? I know that, you know, at all these years, you dropped out of college, all these years you're training first in Texas and then in Colorado Springs. You were kind of also constantly fighting to stay on the team, right?
Right. So I think one of the benefits of being on a team sport is you always have a sister there. You always have somebody that's going to support you if you're having a bad day. And I love that aspect of team sports. So everybody has their own inner drive and their own motivation, but you still have to have that common goal. You still have to have that, you know, the coach is push. And that day, you're not there, but there's always somebody there that's going to say, you've got this, and I'm here for you. And knowing my parents here in Cincinnati were like, do your thing. This is your dream. Go for it. But I think that helps you when you have the passion, but you know there's somebody going to be there for you if you're having that down day. That keeps you going. And then that creates that family bond to help you be successful on and off the court. Yeah. And so that you can have that mental aspect, but we're all human. We all have those rough days. And that's what it's so nice about being on a team, you know, either whether it's an individual event like Mary or a team sport, you have to rely on each other. Yeah. So, yeah.
And if I could just add on to that, you know, for me, with the fact of, you know, being on an individual sport and then coming together for that 4x4 and making it into a relay sport, excuse me, a relay event, that mental, for me, starting off coming as the athlete that a lot of people didn't expect a lot from. Mm. So when I think about that, I'm like, oh, wow, that was a mental kind of tough period for me in which I had to prove myself. Mm-hmm. And finally, when I proved myself, I was just like, I'm on top of the world. I can do anything. I'm a superwoman. And so I can see how for some of the athletes, especially now, who are doing sports and maybe not feeling at their greatest, having to learn how to deal with the pressure. Mm-hmm. And the pressure was very hard, but I'm happy that I was able to learn how to deal with that pressure.
Yeah.
I think another aspect of being on a team is understanding your role. Mm-hmm. So I knew what my role was on that team. In 4 years on the national team, I only saw the court 4 times, but I understood what my role was, and I was still expected to train 6 to 8 hours a day. So there was no whining, there was no crying. I understood what my role on the team, and my teammates appreciated that I understood my role. So there, you know, it wasn't like I should be playing, I'm better than her. There, you know, it's like, This is what it is. Do you want to be a part of this success and understand your role, the piece to a puzzle, you know? And my coach appreciated that because he could have very easily brought in, you know, somebody else who was better or more talented. And that's always, I look at that, the coaching aspect about choosing the right piece to the puzzle. Do you want somebody who's a superstar and is going to sit on the bench and be a negative force, or do you want somebody who understands their role and is willing to do everything, but may not be out there in front of everybody? So I think that's a really important piece.
Yeah. Well, I know you both faced some disappointment along the way. Not every event is a big win. Sharon, I want to start with you because you made the 1980 national volleyball team after training for years, dropping out of college, making some, you know, personal sacrifices. But the U.S. boycotted the games that year. Mm-hmm. Talk about that feeling, just what was going on in your head and in your heart when you found out that after all that, the team wasn't going to be going to the Olympics.
Well, it was life-crushing. That was difficult because the announcement was made at the State of the Union address in January, but the vote wasn't taken until April. So we had to stay motivated and stay training, and our coach had to, you know, keep us like, we can do this, we can do this. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And living at the training center, we were perfect subjects for the media come in and go, how do you feel about this? You know, and we were like, oh my gosh, this is messing with our head. Is our coach not being honest with us? So it was life-changing for a lot of us because I worked with some of my teammates had been on the team 4 years prior. So, you know, our coach was like, okay, we can stick together for the LA Olympics because we're the host team. We can't boycott. And people are like, I need to finish school. I miss my family, you know. But those disappointments, I'm forever grateful because what we went through as a team is why I still am so close to those people. It's why we still Zoom together and we live together. We went through that together. Yes, that was that was disappointing, but what the lessons that it taught us, you know, along the way, the perseverance.
Yeah. And Mary, you mentioned this, but you know, you started training real hard in 2003. You'd been an athlete at UC and a star, and you decided, hey, I'm really going to go for this. And you, as I understand, you competed in the 2004 Olympic trials, but didn't advance to the finals that year. It sounds like that just made you more determined, though, right?
It did at first. It didn't, because at first I was crying. I was full of tears. I was so disappointed. I had moved all the way to the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista. I trained there, and I'm thinking, wow, I put all of this work in, and what do I have to show? Nothing, so I thought. Coming back home, it made me realize that things don't always work out the first time. And sometimes you have to keep pushing and keep going after it. And it also made me have a hunger in which I wanted to learn more about my race, the 400. I wanted to learn how to run it faster. I wanted to learn the technique. I wanted to get stronger. And putting that effort in and having the ability to have 4 more years to, you know, perfect my craft, it was an amazing opportunity. And now that I look back, I realize it was a journey that I had to go through. Sometimes you go through disappointment, but it's how you deal with that disappointment. Mm-hmm. And for me, dealing with that disappointment, figuring things out, coming back and saying, this is what I'm going to do, and putting in that effort each and every single day to now being able to, you know, go and compete on the Olympic stage as well.
Yeah. Well, we are talking in this recorded interview about what it takes to become an Olympian and the lifelong lessons that you can gain from the experience. We're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss the growing popularity of women's sports. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're continuing our recorded conversation about what it takes to win a spot on Team USA with 2 local Olympians, 2008 Olympic gold medalist Mary Weinberg and member of the 1980 U.S. Olympics volleyball team, Sharon Furlong. Sharon, you ultimately decided not to keep training to try to secure a spot on the national team in 1984. Talk about what went into that decision and whether that was a tough decision to make.
It was a tough decision because I wanted to stay with my teammates, my sisters. And there were 14 of us training, and 6 decided to go. And my plan was to be the manager. I thought, okay, I understood my role for 4 years, but I still want to be a piece. I still want to be a part of that family. And then I had always, since I was in second grade, I wanted to be a teacher. I knew that. So I wanted to finish, and that was important for me too, and I was struggling with that. But my sister was killed in a car accident. Wow. And that was kind of the impetus that said, you know, God's kind of talking to me saying, it's time for you to come back home and move on. But it, you know, he had a plan for me, and it all worked out, and that was good. But I had to go school shopping because I wasn't finished with my degree, and I knew I didn't want to go far. So I had to literally contact volleyball coaches. I had 1 year of eligibility left, contact coaches and say, I really, my degree is very important. I really, really, really want to, you know, be a teacher. So, but I have 1 year left. So I had to put myself out there and market myself a little bit. And I ended up at Indiana University. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. So. Well, and Mary, after you, you know, rededicated yourself to training, you got on that Olympic team in 2008. Not only that, you won a gold medal. I mean, talk about what that was like. I can't even imagine how proud you must have been after all that work, you know, coming away with a gold.
Yeah, it definitely was a proud moment for me. And it was an opportunity for me. The year before in 2007, I had attended the World Championships as a 400 meter runner and as a 4x400 meter relay. And I experienced winning a gold medal there. So I'm thinking, oh my, if the Olympics are just like this, I should be able to do this, you know? And so moving into the year of 2008 and training, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I had to run. I knew the times. I knew my competition. And so going into those Olympic Games, it was a lot different than 2004 versus, you know, going in with the unknown. And now knowing, I felt much more prepared. I remember talking with my coach and really just giving me that confidence to saying, Mary, you do have this now. You have this. Just go in there, run the race like we discussed, and I know that you can do it. So being given that opportunity to run on the relay with my teammates, again, like you talked about, it's an everlasting relationship. And just having those individuals to still be able to call, and they are like sisters, and just having that moment and being on top of the world, receiving that medal, hearing your national anthem being played, and you're just standing there, you're thinking, wow, this is really happening. So when the Olympics are on, I'm like reliving that moment every single time. And it's a moment that I will always cherish forever.
Oh, I can imagine. Sharon, you mentioned you played volleyball at Indiana University. You got your degree and became a physical education teacher mm-hmm. and a coach. How did your training and the lessons that you learned being part of that team training, how did that, all of that carry into those other aspects of your life as a teacher and coach?
Well, I think it's important to teach, especially young girls in high school, that it's okay to be strong. It's okay to be aggressive. It's good. And I think, again, that's a mindset, but it's not just the girls, it's the parents. The parents have to buy in because you're asking so much of them. So I had to remember these are high school girls. They're not training for the Olympics. They're students first. So I had to create an atmosphere. I want this to be a family. I want us to have a common goal. Those things that I had learned. So, and the important piece that I mentioned about understanding your role. And I know that I couldn't say to a 15-year-old, you're probably never going to see the court, because I wanted them to understand the role, but I knew what it was like to sit on the bench that whole time. So I made sure I appreciated them, and I made sure that they got playing time. I made sure that, you know, if the superstars were having a bad day, I wasn't going to say, you're a better athlete, you're going to hang in there. I said, you need to take a break. There are people here that give their same time and energy, and they deserve to be on the court. So I wanted everybody to understand that we were part of a team, and I knew what it was like not to be the superstar all the time. So you never know what the impact is going to be. And when kids say, you know, when I delivered my first child, it was painful, but I had to compare it to what you put us through during conditioning. And I'm like, holy cow.
I don't know. Did you take that as a compliment?
I know. Yeah. I was like, I need to back off. And I was like, well, you know, just saying that you could get, you know, they're saying you taught me how to be tougher. And I think those are important lessons that are going to carry through the rest of your life. If I could do that, I can do this. And it took a while. It took 3 years before we started winning and they could see, you know, this is what it takes. This is what it takes. I wanted them to understand that. So that was really, really rewarding for me.
Yeah. Mary, you're smiling. I know you're an educator. You've coached. You just before we started this interview, you watched a young woman win a silver medal in Paris. Is that somebody you had coached or had worked with at UC? I mean, talk to us about just what you've poured into young people and the lessons that you take from being a gold medalist, an Olympian, an Olympic champion, and how you infuse that into young people.
Yeah, totally. So graduating from the University of Cincinnati, you know, from the track team, this particular individual, her name is Annette. She recently graduated from UC as well and just wanted to support her. And, you know, she came out by winning a silver medal in the hammer throw. And that was just an amazing opportunity for me to be able to sit at home and be able to cheer her on and kind of be a little sad that I'm not in Paris. But, you know, I'm happy to be able to support her. But in the question of, you know, trying to express what do I give now or, you know, what have I learned from the sport? For me, being an educator and being able to share, I love the littles. I was a second grade teacher for over 10 years. And just being able to see the smiles on their faces as I tell them about what I've accomplished. And they look and they're like, wow, our teacher or my teacher, she's an Olympic gold medalist. She went to the Olympics. And then to be able to then sit down with them and share all of the details and to express to them and explain that they're going to be good days and they're going to be bad days. And I oftentimes remember saying to them, hey, whenever you're having a bad day, you can just leave it outside the door. You don't have to bring it into the classroom, because I had to learn with training each and every day, there were bad days. And I couldn't always bring that bad day into the training, you know, session. I had to learn how to let things go. So I find it very important to me as a role model here, not only in the Cincinnati community, but to always give back to the youth, to give back to girls, little girls that look like me, to give back to adults, to give back to everybody. And in the end, I want everyone to be able to realize their potential, because that was something that I struggled with as a young child. And as, you know, I graduated from college and then moving into the professional light, I realized my potential. I realized that I was good. I realized that I was smart. I realized that I could accomplish things. And so my big message to them is that at the end of the day, not only do I want you to have fun with what you're doing, whether it's a sport or just anything that you want to put your mind to, but I want them to realize their potential. Mm. I have a children's book. It's called I Didn't Win. And that, you know, made me write that book for those kids to understand and learn that. So. Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you both. We talked a little bit about this UC graduate that you just watched win a silver medal, which is fantastic. But how has it felt for each of you to watch these Olympic Games? I'll start with you, Mary. I mean, you said you're a little sad you're not in Paris. I'm a little sad I'm not in Paris for lots of reasons. But what has it been like to watch? What have you really been focused on? What's been your favorite moment so far?
You know, really everything in the Olympics has just been phenomenal. Just watching the gymnasts, just watching every single sport. But of course, my favorite is track and field, and just being able to turn on the TV and know these individuals. I serve as the president for the USA Track and Field Alumni Association. So I am firsthand with these athletes and a lot of them, and just getting the opportunity to say, wow, I know this person. I know their story. I know that they've been through, and to be able to cheer them on, to get that Olympic fire going, to get that spirit, to get the energy going and passing it on to everyone else. All of my neighbors, they're like, Mary's going to make sure that we watch TV. Mary's going to make sure that we're watching the Olympic Games. And I'm like, you absolutely need to make sure that you're watching. So I'm full of excitement. I'm full of just, I guess you could just say proud. I'm just proud. I'm proud to be able to say that I'm an Olympian. I'm proud to be able to say that I've been there. And I'm also proud to be able to say congrats to all of the individuals that showed up, because it takes a lot to show up. It takes a lot, and it takes a lot to perform as well, especially when all the eyes are staring at you and you have expectations, and there will be some times that you don't meet those expectations. But, you know, I just want each and every one of the individuals or the athletes there, the coaches, to just know that as long as you give your best, we're going to be proud of you.
Oh, that's great. How about you, Sharon? What's it been like to watch these games for you?
Well, I look forward to it. Every 4 years, I'm just glued. But I think my favorite part, you know, I love watching the athletes that you know Simone Biles, is her, you know, comeback story. This is going to be, but it's, I adore, I relish the journeys of the unknown and people we get to know. The male gymnast, Stephen Nedorozic, Clark Kent. I mean, yeah. I'm like, holy moly, his life has changed. Ilan Marr, the women's rugby player, who's just been promoting for months to try to get an audience for rugby. And she's 5'10", 200 pounds. She's a big girl, and she is proud of her body and the positivity she has. And all the, you know, our women's fencing team, she was a doctor. She dropped out of medical school to train. Those stories, those up close and personal, you know, back Jim McKay would tell, those are the stories that I just love hearing. It just fills your heart, and you're like, nobody would have known them, you know? And, you know, those are the people that I'm just so thrilled that eyes are on them now. And sometimes I get upset by the medal count, because, you know, they make it so it's country against country. And then you look at the athletes, you look at Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles bowing down to the Brazilian gymnast. They appreciate each other. They hug each other. Your competitors, they're sitting on the bus together, they're traveling together, and all the trials and the ups and downs of training when you go to those places. It's like they want to pit you against each other, and you have that competitive spirit, but man, you all have a common goal, and you all appreciate the fact that you're going through it together. And I think that is so, so important for people to see that's part of the lesson, and appreciating each other and thankful that they have the same spirit. They may not speak the same language. They have, you know, cultural differences, but we all have that goal of trying to be successful and be the best.
Well, this has been wonderful. I have been talking with 2008 Olympic gold medalist in the U.S. women's 4x400 meters relay, Mary Weinberg, and member of the 1980 women's national volleyball team that qualified for the Olympic Games, Sharon Furlong. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Lucy.
Up next, we'll discuss the growing popularity of women's sports. This is Cincinnati Edition.